Leaders are all around us, at all times and in every area of our lives. They motivate. They risk the first step. But what motivates a leader? KWBU's Central Texas Leadership Series is where you'll learn more about a variety of local leaders. On today's program, Brenda Shuttlesworth. Brenda is Executive Director of Waco Habitat for Humanity.
Hello. My name is Nan Holmes, and I am the host of KWBU's Central Texas Leadership Series. Today, I am welcoming Brenda Shuttlesworth, the Executive Director of Habitat for Humanity, to the KWBU studios. Brenda, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for the invitation, Nan.
Well, every leader has a beginning, so tell me about your early days. I understand you lived in Waco, moved away, and then returned to lead Habitat for Humanity.
That's right. I was born in Waco, but I didn't live here long before my family moved just north into Johnson County, where I grew up. I came back to Baylor, and such was the case in the days when I went to Baylor. Most people left Waco to start their careers. Mm-hmm. And I studied social work when I was at Baylor in my undergraduate studies, and I served as a social worker, and then I worked my way up in management in the mental health, mental retardation centers back in the late 80s and 90s. And I did that for about 14 years, and then I left what I loved because I felt like God had something that he wasn't finished asking me to do, and I decided to be obedient and say yes to a call that I felt to serve him in vocational ministry while I was at Baylor. And I went to seminary and served on staff in at a church in Conroe for 9 years. And then I helped Buckner Children and Family Services mm-hmm. develop a new program for single moms so that they could go back to school and have a better life for them and their children. And shortly after that, I came to Waco. We really wanted to get closer to our aging parents. And this opportunity with Waco Habitat for Humanity was available. And I said yes, and I've been loving it the last 5 years.
Wow, that's so interesting. Let's go back before you even, you know, went to Baylor and all right. that, to your early days. Mm-hmm. Who were some of the people who really instilled that sense of leadership in you?
Well, of course, my parents did. That we always were involved in our church. My parents had leadership roles in the church. It was a small country church, so everybody served, and I learned that from a very early age. And I think that service is such an important part of leadership, that you're willing to walk life's path with people, because life is all about relationships. I think that leadership is very heavily dependent on relationships. And so it really began in my home, and then lots of my leadership opportunities as a child and a youth came through my church and also at school.
That's interesting because I grew up in that kind of home too, where you were expected to do things, take on leadership roles within the church. That
right.
was my beginnings too. Do you recall anybody beside your parents who really stands out in your mind when you have to make some kind of leadership decision? Is there someone you draw on?
I do. I have three people, and one of them is one of my aunts, my Aunt Shirley. I love her dearly. My first job was with my aunt. It was babysitting, but she had long lists, task lists. And I guess I'm a task maker to this day of there are certain things that I need to accomplish before that day is finished. And I can credit my Aunt Shirley for that. But my aunt, she was everything that I wanted to be. She was active at church. She played the piano. She taught me piano once I got into high school and I was finished, you know, going into town to go from the piano teacher. But she taught me how to play church music. But she was a successful businesswoman and she was a leader at her work. And she had children. And it's like, you know, she had it all. She would get up early in the morning. She would exercise. She would read her Bible. She would pray for people. Then she would go and she would work a very long, hard day. And I was responsible for taking care of her children until her husband got home from work. work, my uncle, and she did this day after day after day, and she had meals planned and chores planned for me as the babysitter, for her children, and for her husband. So my aunt was like this, she was like Superwoman to me. So she was a very early influence in my life, and she remained a constant influence in my life until I went away to college.
You know, I know the power of an aunt, especially I had an aunt who didn't have children. She was a school teacher, but she heavily influenced my life very, very young. So who were the other two people?
The other two people came in my adulthood. And when I was with Denton County Mental Health Mental Retardation Center in Denton County, I had an executive director that came within 6 months of a very green social worker fresh out of Baylor. I was prepared to do certain types of work, but I really had limited experience. And she took me under her wing. She was about 18 years older than I was. She saw potential for service and for leadership, and she allowed me to learn alongside an executive team that she was assembling, and she was willing to point me in the right directions to help me make the right connections with people and to serve on committees with other leaders from across the state to not only know the business better, but to know our elected officials better and how they could influence policy and legislation that could help people that were hurting.
Wow. And then number three?
And number three was the pastor with whom I served in Conroe, Texas. And Dr. Walton was just one of those people that I served in a Baptist church. I was an associate pastor in a Baptist church, and it was a very conservative Baptist church, and they didn't know what to do with this female leader that they could definitely see gifting from God and natural leadership and abilities that they had never seen in a woman before. And he was willing to take risks in having a female on staff and in an executive position in a very conservative town. And he never let me down.
Oh, I think that's interesting, because I hope that those who are listening will be reminded, you never know when you will be mentoring to someone. Even though it's not an overt type of mentoring, it's just guiding that person.
It really is. It's sharing life, I think, Nan. And that is such an important part of leadership. We should be developing leaders. I feel so strongly about it. Part of how I use my time is with the Chambers Lead program. It's a deliberate opportunity to pour life into, you know, students that are in high school so that they have some opportunities to see different businesses and professions and educational opportunities that they might not otherwise have had an opportunity to see in our community. I think that's important. And then, of course, as I work, it's always very, very important to me that those that are a part of our whole organization, whether they are volunteers, they are homeowners, or they are paid staff, that I have opportunities to influence lives, but to really pour myself into, you know, a couple of people that are being brought along to be able to lead organizations.
Oh, I think that is so true. And I want to ask you a question that has been on my mind since I knew I was going to interview you, that, you know, you went to an organization that had one director who founded the organization. Did you find that you had to find your own way, establish your own path? Because I know young leaders will experience that kind of situation. They're going into a position where the founder is leaving, and they need to establish they don't want to just walk in someone's, you know, exact footsteps, but they want to establish their way of doing things.
Right. I knew I was following a legacy leader when I came to Waco Habitat for Humanity, and I knew what the textbooks all said about following a legacy leader. If you're not ridden out on a rail for not walking on water in the first 6 months, you might have a year to 18 months, if you're lucky. And John Alexander is beloved in our community.
Oh, yes.
He's very beloved of everybody associated with Waco Habitat for Humanity. John was the executive director for 16 years. There was an executive director before John.
Oh, I didn't
And then
realize.
Actually Joe Gatlin with Habitat for Humanity International. He's just retiring. He was our founding executive director back in 1986, but no one had the tenure that John did.
Mm-hmm.
He knew all of the families. He knew all of the stories. He knew everything about Waco Habitat for Humanity. So I prayed long and hard about it. I knew that we wanted and needed to be in this community for our family. That was the decision. But I also knew that I would not say yes to just a job, that it really and truly had to be a ministry. And so I talked with John and I talked with the board that extended an offer. And I am very transparent. So I said, I know what challenges I might expect with a legacy leader that's going to remain in the community. I feel called to say yes to this opportunity. So we're going to work this process together. And I like the fact that John continues to be a supporter of Waco Habitat for Humanity. In fact, he was out on Saturday helping us frame a home. And so that was pretty fun. But I also have a champion who has been there when I have questions, specific questions about a unique organization and his longevity, that he's willing to give of himself as a leader to be sure that I don't take any missteps that might be able to be avoided. And then I have a fantastic board of directors, and they've been wonderful, a wonderful group with whom to work and to serve. And they understand that John continues to be a part of our community and a supporter of Waco Habitat for Humanity. So it's been unique. It has not been without its challenges, because I am not John. I know absolutely nothing about construction. The board knew I knew nothing about construction, but I know a lot about leadership and organizations, administration, and things of that nature.
Well, that's great. I really appreciate you sharing your insight to that. Most people think they know all about Habitat for Humanity, but it's really a multi-layered story. And if you're just joining us, this is Central Texas Leadership Series. I am Nan Holmes, visiting with Brenda Shuttlesworth, Executive Director of Waco's Habitat for Humanity. Back to that story, Habitat for Humanity is more than building a home. You definitely do that, but also you repair homes with the Neighborhood Vitalization Initiative, and you have, as you've mentioned, the Restore. Let's start with building homes, because let's don't assume that everyone out there knows exactly what's involved, other than a vague idea of, oh, I think you have to put some sweat equity into it. But tell us, if you can, in an elevator speech form, about how people get homes.
Right. Well, our new home construction program, what you said is exactly right. It is a partnership program that requires a partner family that is ultimately going to be a homeowner. They're going to purchase a home with an affordable mortgage. Our goal is that everybody deserves a decent, affordable place to live. And we think that homeownership is the way to go. So people are going to go through what we call Homeowners College. They are going to receive education about what it means to purchase a home and to own a home.
Mm-hmm.
Because across time, you're going to have to fix things and repair things and things of that nature, which we want people to do. And we want people to have a good foundation as well on their finances, because that home, they are going to build financial security through the equity that is in their home. So we want them to understand how to save. So people are going to come in and they are going to do some education, and they are going to do 300 hours of sweat equity. They will
mm-hmm.
build on other people's homes. And then when they get halfway through their 300 hours of sweat equity, we will break ground on their home. And the last half of their hours will be spent building their own home. And then at the end of it, they are going to purchase that home through a zero interest mortgage from Waco Habitat for Humanity. So we are partners for about 30 years with the people that
wow.
purchase our homes.
Well, when you cross over Waco Drive, I see those beautiful row houses there. Are some of those Habitat for Humanity Where exactly are homes? Are they everywhere?
They are everywhere in Waco. We've built, as far as new homes are concerned, we have predominantly built in the city of Waco. We've built a couple of other homes outside of the city, one out in Bosqueville and one in West, but predominantly our opportunities to grow and expand our new home construction ministry has been in the city of Waco. We build a lot in Brook Oaks, Sanger Heights, in Carver neighborhood, in Northeast Riverside, so in East Waco and in the greater downtown area, have built many, many of our 173 homes. We've also built a lot right out here, right off of LaSalle in far South Waco, Holt, Church, Boyd, South Forth, those areas we have many homes as well.
Oh, that's just wonderful. Now tell us about the repairing homes. How does that work?
We've been repairing homes since 2007. So we have over a decade of experience in home repairs. And the reason Waco Habitat for Humanity said yes to home repairs, it was twofold. One is home production across the nation started to decrease when the housing crisis happened in 2007, 2008. Mm-hmm. And so Habitat for Humanity was looking for ways to have meaningful impact in communities. And because of the high poverty rate in Waco, coupled with the housing stock that is very, very old, 50s and 40s and things of that nature, predominantly in the neighborhoods where we serve. And we knew that through the Upjohn study back, I think, in 2007 by the city, that there was a lot of need for home repair. 70% of the homes in the neighborhoods where we serve, when you drive by a windshield kind of survey, they appear to need repairs. We said yes to home repairs coming alongside owner-occupied residences so that people could age in place and have a home that was safe and decent for them to live throughout their lives and to be able to have a home to pass on to the next generation.
I totally love that idea. And according to if you go on the website, Habitat for Humanity is part of a global nonprofit housing organization. This is, I'm sure you've memorized this, operated on Christian principles that seeks to put God's love into action by building homes, communities, and hope. And that is a great vision. I wonder, do you feel like hope is absolutely necessary for the success of home ownership and repair?
I really do. I mean, I love the mission of Waco Habitat for Humanity, of Habitat for Humanity International. Mm-hmm. I would have never said yes if I was not fully on board with the vision and the mission. But the mission, the hope, and the bringing people together because of faith. I mean, we do what we do from a sense of our Christian values, and that we believe that what we do is what we call the theology of the hammer. People learn the things of God as they sling a hammer with us. And when people see the love of God in action, we're not preaching, we're not proselytizing, we're just living out our faith, and all faiths are welcome. I think that that gives people hope. Because they can see, people will ask, well, why do you do what you do? They will ask that of us. They will ask that of our prospective homeowners. They will ask it of volunteers when people are on a construction site. And then we have an opportunity to say, well, I do this because I think that it can make a better home for this family. It can make our community better by having more new homes. And then it gives people that just drive by hope that they too can achieve the same thing.
Oh, great. Do you have a story, like a standout story that you always keep coming back to, something that really impressed you or made some kind of impression on your heart?
We have so many stories.
I bet.
But one that just literally popped into my mind is a story of two relationships that Waco Habitat for Humanity has. We are always privileged to have really close, long-lasting relationships with our homeowners. Mm-hmm. And then we have a long-standing partnership with one of the prisons in Gatesville, one of the women's prisons in Gatesville.
Yes, I'm familiar with that prison.
The ladies come out and they volunteer with us at least once a week, and sometimes they will come out as much as two or three times a week. And when they get selected to come. They volunteer at the prison to get to come, knowing that they're going to, you know, have full body searches before they leave and when they return. So it's very invasive, but they learn a job skill. And we had a homeowner just a few years ago that built a new home with us since I've been here. And the ladies served beside her as she built her home. They were volunteering alongside her. She had been in prison before. She had made bad choices early in her adulthood and spent a few years in prison. And ladies that were presently incarcerated were helping her build her home. And then one of those ladies, when she got out of prison, she called us back to let us know that she was out, but she wanted to say thank you. And we don't get those kind of calls very often, but she called to say thank you. And Carol said she wanted us to know that her life was different. She said that she had been in and out of prison several times and continued to make bad choices. But she said she had an aha moment on our construction site as she was sweating. And it was the summertime when she said it was hot, it was miserable, but she said, I loved it. And she said, all of a sudden, as I was putting on siding, she said, I realized that I had construction skills. I could get a job in construction. Maybe people wouldn't be too concerned about the record. And she said, I'm going to save my money. And I'm going to get involved in a habitat program in my community, and I'm going to be a homeowner someday. So I love that about the ministry, which is Waco Habitat for Humanity.
You know, that I love that story because when I was with KWBU for 8 years, I did workshops out at the prison, and I saw that I think the good word is just bad decision. It's not that they're bad people.
Right.
And there are women who need a place to, when they come out, to go and to take their children.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really hard, that's a very difficult thing to do. And I think that's a wonderful story. Thank you for sharing that.
Sure.
It's just makes me realize that there, you probably do have so many stories and successes that they are also setting an example for their children and their grandchildren about what you can do in your community. So it all goes back to that word hope.
It does go back to the word hope. And our homeowner's name, and you can't make this stuff up, her name is Hope.
Oh, my goodness. Well, let's look to the future. What do you see as the biggest challenge?
Well, the biggest challenge is affordable housing. June is National Home Ownership Month. The U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development named June National Home Ownership Month several years ago. And as I think about what home ownership means to families, you know, they're more financially secure. Adults are more likely to be in line for advances on the job. They're more likely to go back and get additional training and education. Students do better in school. Families are healthier and they go to the doctor less and miss work and school less. Those things are important, but it's expensive to own a home. We serve people at Waco Habitat for Humanity that earn 30 to 60% of the area median. So it's hardworking people that just don't make very much money. Mm-hmm. I mean, $10 to $12 an hour is the average wage that is earned by a Habitat homeowner. So it's considered a low income. And Waco is booming. It's like good news and bad news. You know, Waco is booming. Everybody wants to move to Waco. Waco is the place to be. But that means that land cost more, that taxes are going up every single year for Habitat homeowners as well. And that makes it difficult for people to be able to continue to afford the homes that they have purchased and to be able to qualify for a loan. Even as much as Waco Habitat is able to discount, a person has to be able to qualify to purchase that home and to be able to afford it, you know, for the 30-year mortgage. So I think that affordable housing is the biggest challenge for Waco Habitat for Humanity.
Yes, and also with home ownership, you've got electricity, water, sewage,
right,
garbage pickup, those things. And $10 an hour is just, I don't know if that is what we call a living wage. That's right, putting you right on the edge. If something catastrophic happens, you would not be able to absorb that, maybe.
That's correct. That is absolutely correct. You know, our homeowners, they have great budgeting ideas and savings, but you're exactly right. One broken arm, one, you know, prolonged illness, if you get the flu and you're out of work for, you know, 5 days, that's significant if you are an hourly wage earner earning a very low wage.
And if your automobile quits,
yes,
then you've got to really scramble to get around, you know, to get to work. You may or may not be on the bus line, but it is really a very difficult thing that a lot of people don't seem to understand. They think, oh, they've got a home, but it's those other things that challenge their ability to keep their home.
Exactly. Every single day they have added challenges that sometimes we don't think about. But they, our homeowners, I'm sure that they have those uneasy feelings in the back of their heads on a daily basis.
And I think that's why it's very important that as a community, we remember that when we lift the families up to home ownership, then we're lifting up the community, the quality of life in this community.
We absolutely are.
And on a final note, tell us a little bit about the Restore.
I'll be happy to. Waco Habitat for Humanity Restore is a building materials warehouse that is open to the community. We are open Wednesdays through Saturdays to the public, and it is a place where people can donate building materials, household items, and then we resell those at deeply discounted prices to the general public, because the revenue that we earn above and beyond paying for our staff and the warehouse, it goes to build more homes and repair more homes in our community. So it is the number one resource, the number one way that Habitat affiliates are able to grow capacity. And I think that here in Waco, we have a very successful Restore. Lots of people, it is the place to be to see the community. You see people who could only afford to shop at Restore. You see people who want to shop at Restore because it is environmentally friendly. You see doctors and lawyers and things of that nature come by, Baylor professors on their lunch breaks. It is a great cross-section of the greater Central Texas community, because we are the Restore between the Dallas-Fort Worth area and Austin.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is great, because you are really recycling. I mean,
we are
in so many ways.
We do. We keep about 3,000 tons of materials out of the landfill on an annual basis. That saves the city money in landfill fees, but it repurposes things that still have a useful life left in them. And I like that. That would preach that everything has a useful second life, so to speak.
Yes, I'm all for that. I like to do that. I like the idea. And I think there is just this good feeling when you go there. I haven't been there in a long time, but I know that people were eager to help other people. And
yes,
that kind of environment just makes you feel good, like you said, just to be there.
It does.
Well, anything else you'd like to tell us about?
Well, of course, like I said, June is National Homeownership Month. Waco Habitat for Humanity always has opportunities for volunteers. So, Nan, I encourage you to come out and volunteer with us, or any of your listeners to come out and volunteer with us. You don't have to be able to sling a hammer to be able to volunteer with Waco Habitat for Humanity.
Oh, that's a great invitation. And I hope that give us the phone number there.
Our phone number is 254-756-7575.
That is great. Oh, Brenda, it's been such a pleasure to talk to you today, because I really believe you are in the business of making dreams come true.
We absolutely are.
That was Nan Holmes speaking with Brenda Shuttlesworth, Executive Director of Waco Habitat for Humanity. This interview was recorded June 11th, 2018 in the KWBU studio. This and past episodes can be found on our website at kwbu.org under the Programs tab, Central Texas Leadership Series.